You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. And that's our heart. And I know WCNO wants to do the same thing. We want the truth to be propagated through this county, the Treasure Coast, and all over America. And so that's what our purpose is to bring the truth of the Word of God. And so we're honored to be with you again on another Saturday afternoon. Kind of bear with me. I've had a little bronchial problem, but I'm getting better. And so I may have to pause from time to time to kind of catch my breath here, but we're going to do our best. And so we're honored to be here with you. And so we want to say hello. I'm just thinking about Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island in the Bahamas, our sister church. We want to say hello to you. We love you too so much. And you're doing so much for the kingdom of God. People may not think so, but you do. And you've been faithful. And so we continue to lift you up. And we pray that all the finances are going to come in to finish that roof, get that building done. And it's going to be a glory house for the Lord Jesus Christ. It already is, but it's going to be something spectacular from the outside that people can see. They will draw people in to see what's going on in that house. And so we thank you for both of them. Bless them and everything that they're doing. So we're honored to be here with you again on another Saturday. Boy, the years go by fast, don't they, Pastor Donna? And here we are now. We're almost up to 22. July the 8th, it'll be 22 years that we've been on the radio here in Stuart, Florida. And it's been a real honor, so we're glad to be there. So, Pastor Don, you probably got a couple of things. You don't have anything? How about the phone number or anything? You want to do that?
I guess I can give a phone.
So, Pastor Don, you probably got a couple of things.
Phone number here is area code 772.
You want to do that?
I suppose I can grow 7. That's 285-7007.
Yes.
And I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey, too, and also to those out there that are listening and that have listened over the years. And we just are blessed to be here at WCNO station. We're at the station now doing this radio broadcast. So, and this radio broadcast goes everywhere around the world. You know, WCNO, praise the Lord for them. It's on the internet. And so anyone in the world can listen to WCNO and listen to their fine music and their fine Bible teaching.
That's right.
Amen.
So we're honored to be a part of that. And I want to thank all of you that give to this ministry. Some of you have paid for a week, program for a week, a half a week, whatever. We just thank you for those offerings. It'll keep us on the air. And we just ask God to bless you and all that you're doing as you put Him first in everything that you do. And if you do, you know that you'll be blessed in everything. And so we're honored to be here. We got Miss Margie Sweeney with us again here today.
Amen.
And so we're going to talk about a time called Shavuot or Pentecost. And today is the 13th day of counting the Omer. We'll talk just a little bit about that. Then I want to talk about some very interesting things
Marcia has some things about the Omer, too.
That's right.
And I also wanted to mention, if they would like to send an offering, they can send it to Spirit of Prophecy,
mm-hmm.
Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. Zip code is 34995.
That's
Amen.
It. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
So we're going to talk about this time, and it's incredible when we think about it. You know, they're right now in Israel, they're doing the same thing. They're counting the days. They're counting the Omer to get out to the point of the 50 days, and it took about that amount of time because they had to get enough grain from the early wheat harvest in the spring to make those two loaves of bread that we're going to talk about here in a moment during the time of Pentecost. And so here we are, we're 13 days into it, so nothing's ripe yet, but it's growing, and that's what they want us to know and understand with all of it. And remember that in Judaism, we have three festivals, appointed times by God, that are all harvest festivals. We know that Passover was, you know, and we already talked about that, but that's really not one of the harvest festivals. But First Fruits is, which is a picture of what? The resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. And the second one will be the Festival of Weeks, which we're talking about today. And then we have one in the latter part of the year during the Feast of Tabernacles. So where I'd like to start, I'd like to go over to Leviticus 23 with you, and let's read what this says about this time called Shavuot or Pentecost, okay? So I'm going to start reading here in verse 15. So Lord, let my voice hang in there so we can accomplish this. Here we go. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow, or the day after the weekly Sabbath, from the day that she brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow, after the seventh Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Now you notice this has got leaven in it. There's a reason for this. And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish of the first year, and one young bullock, and two rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering, their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest, listen to this, shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. With the two lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim in the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation. No day to work. It's just, what is it? It's a high Sabbath to be set aside. And you shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever. You notice it doesn't say for a while, but it says forever, forever they're going to honor it. In all your dwellings throughout your generations. And then verse 22, and when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. They shall leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. God takes care of everything, doesn't he? Yes. He's incredible. So it's amazing when you think about this. So first fruits is very important. So when did it start? The day that Yeshua came out of the grave is an important time. It was on Nisan 17. And so in this time, way back before Yeshua came, on Nisan 17, they had to do all these things leading up to what God was going to do with the Feast of Weeks. So they started counting what the day after first fruits, and they go out, they count 50 days out to Pentecost. And we'll see this as we look at this in a little more detail even here today. And so the interesting thing is these two loaves that they're going to bake were baked, they're baked with leavened, okay? And so this is an interesting thing. All the other sacrifices had to be with what? Unleavened bread. But this has leavened bread in it. So I want you to remember this. Remember that the bread of the Passover contained no leaven because it is a picture of our perfect Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, whose body was broken for us. The leaven here pictures the false and corrupt portion of the church and of Israel. Even as the two parables of the wheat and the tares in Matthew chapter 13 and 11 are hidden truths of the corruption of the church, even so here. So the two loaves then symbolize two different prophetic aspects. Number one, the Jew. Israel was God's ecclesia in the nation of Israel in that time, and they still are, really. And number two, the Gentile, the ecclesia of the church. But remember, the church will consist of Jew and Gentile that accept the Messiah. So the two loaves offered to the Lord represent the birth of the New Testament believers, comprised of both what? Jew and Gentile, or the one new man. So I want somebody, Testament believers, comprised of both Ephesians chapter 2 and Gentile, or the one new man. So I want somebody, the one new man, believer.
14 through 18.
Chapter 2, 14 through 18.
For he is our peace.
Yes.
Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Yes. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That's God's purpose. That's what he wants us to know. Now I'm going to be using some terms here in a little bit that some of you listening may not be familiar. There's some Jewish writings called the Midrash, and somebody might say, well, what is that? Well, I studied this years ago. This is a collection of works compiled with rabbis all during the from the 3rd to the 12th centuries that seeks out underlining truths and meanings and concepts of the Bible, with the result of delving into the ramifications of the biblical verse and ancient rabbis looking for hidden meanings in everything. And I've taught on this before. The Jews have four types of teaching that they do. The first is called a Peshat. It means what? The plain sense of it. What Margie just read, we just take the plain sense of it. We don't add anything to it. The second thing is called a Remiz. Now, we're going to use a little bit of some Remiz things here today. And it's a hidden meaning. And then the third one is called a Drash, D-R-A-S-H. And it's a stories told along with it. Jesus did this a lot, didn't he?
Yes.
He told stories to bring a truth. And the fourth one is the Sod, which is the mystery. This is what the rabbis were after in that day, the deep things with the Sods in the Word of God. And they discovered a lot of things. So we'll keep this in mind as well. Now I want to go to Exodus chapter 19. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. And we're not going to get all this done, that's for sure, this week. But we're going to do what we can with this. And some of you have heard us talk on this before, but some of you, this may be all new. So open your hearts to receive what the Holy Ghost would be telling you about this time. Amen? But some of you, this may be all new. So to Exodus chapter 19. Now, I'm going to, before we read this time. Amen? But Exodus chapter 12, remember, they killed the lamb between the two evenings. What time was that? 3 p.m. And it had to be gone by evening when it became Nisan 15. Remember, the Jews' day goes from what? Sunset to sunset. So they packed up and left on Nisan 15. And they traveled 47 days to the foot of Mount Sinai. You can prove that in the scriptures. They went through the Red Sea on Nisan 17, the same day in the future, hundreds of years in the future, when the Messiah would raise from the grave. And they even went through on the morning watch, showing you when Yeshua came out of his grave in the future, between what? 3 and 6 in the morning, the morning watch. And so we come to chapter 19 in Exodus. Now listen to this. In the third month. Well, what's the third month on the Jewish calendar? If you're listening and you're not aware of that, it's in my book. You can get the book for $25. We have a chart with all the months and all to show you how they fit together. The third month is the month of Sivan, okay? When the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So it means the third month, the third day. So that's for exactly, if you look through your Bible, it's exactly 47 days God took them to Mount Sinai when he began to speak from the mountaintop. And this is the interesting thing with all this, to come out and see what he's doing with all this. Amen. So it tells us here, as we have established in a lot of our teachings in the past, that Israel left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan, crossed the Red Sea on the 17th, which I just mentioned, during the morning watch. From there, they traveled the 47 days until they came to the foot of Mount Sinai. When they arrived at Mount Sinai, God instructed Moses to tell the people to what? To purify, set yourselves apart for him for 3 days. This is in Exodus 19, 10 through 15. I'm going to read this. Exodus 19, starting in verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. In the future, after 3,000 years from the time that the Messiah comes, it's the beginning of that, the Lord's going to come to the earth again. We know that. Literally to the Mount of Olives, as the scripture says. Verse 12, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people and round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up unto the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. Wow.
Yes.
There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be a beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount, or shot through from the mount to the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. We're looking for the third day too. Come not at your wives. The men were not to have any kind of sexual relationship or anything with their wives for 3 days. And then verse 16 tells us that on the third day, the Lord came down and spoke to them from Mount Sinai. Amen. So they waited the 3 days, and brought it to the 50th day after coming out alive from the Red Sea. And so this day was later known as the revelation of God at Mount Sinai, where God appeared on the mount. A shofar sounded louder and louder, as we can read in Exodus 19:19. Look what it says. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And then it says that the Lord came down on the mountain. Fire was seen on the mountain, the wind roared, and the ground shook. While Israel stood in awe, the voice of God brought forth the Torah, as it says in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. That was the beginning of the Torah. According to the Jewish tradition, God spoke not only in the Hebrew, but also in every known tongue at that time as well. Listen to this. I found this out with Jewish writings in the past. A rabbi by the name of Joseph Herzl, in his authorized daily prayer book on page 791, if you could get a copy of that, you could read this for yourself. He said, the revelation at Sinai, it was taught and was given in a desert territory which belongs to no one nation exclusively. It was out in the wilderness, in other words. And it was heard not by Israel alone, but by the inhabitants of all the earth. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? The divine voice divided itself into 70 tongues then spoken on the earth. The Jews believe there were 70 known languages at that time, so that all the children of the men might understand its world-embracing and man-redeeming message. God wanted the message for everyone to hear it and to accept it. Also in the Jewish Midrash, under the section called Exodus Rabbah 5:9, it states this: when God gave the Torah on Sinai, he displayed untold marvels to Israel with his voice. His voice. Now listen to this. What happened? God spoke, and his voice reverberated throughout the world. It says, and all the people witnessed the thunderings. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 with me. And the people saw the thunderings. You notice it's plural. It doesn't say thunder. It says thunderings, and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. So there's a note here we all understand, that it does not say thunder, singular, but thunderings, whereby a rabbi years ago, Rabbi Johanan, said that God's voice, as it was uttered, split into 70 voices in the 70 languages, so that all the nations should understand. When each nation heard the voice in their own vernacular, their souls departed. They were in fear, save Israel, who heard, but who were not hurt. Further writings from the Midrash states this: on this occasion of the giving of the Torah, the children of Israel not only heard the Lord's voice, but actually saw the sound waves as they emerged from the Lord's mouth. Can you imagine that? They actually saw that. They visualized and described them as a fiery substance. Each commandment that left the Lord's mouth traveled around the entire camp and then came back to every Jew individually, asking him, do you accept upon yourself this commandment with all the Jewish law pertaining to it? Every Jew answered yes. It's a shame they couldn't keep it. After each commandment, they did that. Finally, the fiery substance that they saw engraved itself on the tablets of stone, as we can read over in Hebrews. It's in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 22. So this is what the Midrash shows. So this is the fourth appointed time that we're looking at on God's appointed times. You know, we had Passover, we had first fruits, unleavened bread, and now we're coming to the fourth one, which is the Feast of Trumpets, or also, did I say trumpets? I'm sorry. The Feast of Weeks, also known as Shavuot. So the fourth appointed time commemorates the awesome events that took place at Mount Sinai. It is called Shavuot, or Pentecost, meaning 50, for the children of Israel to count 7 weeks from the festival of first fruits and observe the following day as Shavuot. These 49 days are called the counting of the Omer. We mentioned it up front. Today's the 13th day of counting the Omer this year. They connect the festival of first fruits of the barley harvest to Shavuot, the beginning of the spring wheat harvest. Since first fruits fell on the day after the weekly Sabbath, Pentecost did also, as we just read in Leviticus chapter 23, same day. So what would that be? If they had calendars back in those days with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it'd be on a Sunday. But they didn't have that back then. As Passover was the beginning of the barley harvest with the waving of the sheaf on the following Sunday, each day was therefore counted until Shavuot, making a natural bridge between the two festivals. In addition to the agricultural aspect, there was also a historical with the journey from Egypt to Mount Sinai. With the resurrection of Yeshua, a third thread stitches together Passover and Pentecost as Yeshua instructs his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they have had power poured out on them from on high. It is at Shavuot, Pentecost, and this is the fulfillment of it in Acts chapter 2. So I'm going to go over first to Luke chapter 24 with you. I should have put a marker in my Bible to make this faster, but I didn't, so anyway. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read verse 45, starting in verse 45 of chapter 24. Remember the two men that walked with Yeshua after his resurrection, and they didn't really know who he was? It says in verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, hallelujah. The Bible says if we read the scriptures and we don't understand, we will never grow up. We must understand what God's telling us in a spiritual sense. And he said into the scriptures, and we don't understand, we will never grow up. We must understand to suffer and to rise from the dead when? The third day, just like he said. Glory be to God. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now listen to this verse. I love it. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. This endued means they're going to be clothed with power from on high. Wow. I get excited thinking about it. And so, as we see this, this should get you excited. Now, remember they went in the upper room? I didn't think about it. And so, well, let's go to John. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. This should get you excited. We know that he came back. Disciples heard him teach for 40 days before he left this earth on the Mount of Olives there. It tells you that right here in chapter 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hear that? They were still learning, in other words. So he was bringing all this for them to understand what was going to happen. So they went in this room and they waited for what? 10 days. He left
He left at the 40 days.
At the 40 days he left. That's right.
Went back to heaven.
And if we look at chapter 1 here, verse 9, it says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, more likely angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This is where he's coming back one day in the future on the Day of Atonement. What an incredible thing we have right
here. On the Mount of Olives.
On the Mount of Olives. So here they all got together in this room, and it says there was about 120, and even the mother of Jesus was there, and they didn't know what was going to happen. All they know is that God said they were going to be filled with something from on high.
And other women as well.
That's right. And so they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and then we go to chapter 2, verse 1.
What about verse 14?
All right.
First.
Go ahead.
These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Verse 1, verse 14.
All right.
First.
Go ahead.
These all continued with one accord
in prayer
and supplication.
From when we were over in Exodus chapter 19, when God puts Shavuot in place, Pentecost, and they rehearsed it, and they've done it for years, and they're still doing it. They rehearse it every single year, and one year it's going to become the real thing. We've talked a lot about Passover. They rehearsed that for 1,500 years and went through all the ceremonies and all that, and then one year it was the real thing that came. Who was that? It was all about Yeshua the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so here we are. We go 1,500 years from Exodus chapter 19 to Acts chapter 2. And the Bible says there in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and what it really means was really being fulfilled, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all, you notice it didn't say some, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And you go through these list of nations here, there's not 70, but there's a lot of nations that's mentioned that were here. So that means that tongue that they got on that particular day, these were all ethnic languages that people knew. So people came from all over the world. Remember, all the men had to be there. And so they all spoke in a different language. But God allowed the Galileans that were there in Jerusalem that never knew those languages to understand what they were saying. And so it blew them away, you know. Because verse 8 says, and how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And he mentions all these. And then we go down to verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaning this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Yeah,
they How can they be full of new wine and be speaking in another ethnic tongue?
And then verse 14 says, but Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. What is that? That was a morning prayer. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel hundreds of years ago. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, not some, but all, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Incredible. So here this chapter 2 here, verse 1, was the 50th day. So just think, 1,500 years went by, and then the real purpose of all of it came. So let's look at the purpose of all this. We know that God literally spoke, didn't he, from Mount Sinai, and the people heard. The mountain shook, and there was fire, and they were frightened. They didn't want to hear God again. but God spoke, and they all heard him speak. It tells us that in the Bible. When we come to Acts over chapter 2, what happens? All of a sudden, there's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost poured out into people, and now God's not speaking from heaven by himself. Now he's filled all the believers with the Holy Ghost, with the power to speak in another language. And so God now gives people, you and I today, the privilege to speak on his behalf and deliver to people. Isn't that incredible when you think about it?
Wow.
So he loves us so much and trusts us so much that we can speak on his behalf. I think it's amazing when I think about it, you know, all these things, huh?
Because it says in Exodus, you read that, verse 22, it says,
yeah.
God said, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven.
From heaven. That's
right. Heaven.
And now he doesn't speak from heaven, but yet he dumps it onto the believers. Let's look at the parallels between now Mount Sinai and what happened in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read part of this out of my book. It is no accident that God chose this festival or appointed time connected with the giving of the Torah to send the Holy Ghost to empower each believer. We're empowered right here, aren't we? Mm-hmm. I've been empowered for a lot of years, and I'm going to continue to declare. I'm going to pray in my heaven language. It's there to build us up and strengthen us. That's the purpose of it. So we thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Just as the Torah teaches God's truth, so the Holy Ghost teaches God's truth. That's in John 14:26, 15:26. And John 16:13 tells you the Holy Ghost will give us the truth. We must understand that Yeshua's Torah, his word, is not different for or an improvement over God's Torah in the Hebrew Scriptures. The Apostle Paul called it what? Holy, just, and good in Romans 7:12. And we got people in the church today teaching you that the Torah is done away with. We're not under law. And that law needs to be declared in a different way and understand the meaning of the three different meanings for the word nomos in the Greek, and we might get a greater understanding. I'm not going to go into that, but we got the church telling you that the Torah has been done away with. It's obsolete. It's not obsolete. God would never give anything to Israel that was bad. No way. So we have to relook at the scriptures and see what God's saying with all this. Because he told us in Romans 7:12, Paul, was he a Pharisee? Yeah. He said what? It was holy, just, and good. Good for us. So what is the difference? What is different is the receptiveness of those for whom the Torah is meant, due to having a new spirit and a heart of flesh. Where's that at? In Ezekiel 36 and also in Jeremiah 31, on which the Torah is written. That's in our heart. And a heart receptive to the Holy Ghost. Tells you that in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Therefore, the Holy Ghost in a believer in a believer's life makes the Torah even more real to them. And the giving of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost only heightens the significance of giving the Torah on Shavuot. I remember when I got saved, I wanted the Holy Ghost so bad, and I was hungry for the Word. But I'll tell you, when I got it, I went to a greater level of understanding than I ever had before, because now I was into the spiritual realm. See, remember, the Holy Ghost is the powering and presence of God in your life. And people deny it. But that's what we need. That's what this church is struggling with, because we don't have the power that God wants us to have. So the Torah of Yeshua has a higher standard, we know that, than Moses' Torah. Why? Because of the circumcision of the heart. It shines. It's
the
light.
The Torah of the Holy Ghost.
It shines the light on our heart and our motives, okay? Now look at this. These things we're going to compare. Now I'm going to let somebody else talk here. At both Mount Sinai and at Pentecost, the Torah was delivered to God's people. At Sinai, the Ten Commandments were written on tablets of stone, right? On both sides, in fact, by the finger of God in Exodus 31:18. While at Pentecost, the Torah was written on the tablets of our heart. Is it on your heart, you that are listening today? Are you born again? Do you know the majority of the Word of God? Maybe you don't have it memorized word for word, but do you know what it means? Do you hear something and you know it's not the truth because the Holy Ghost quickens you and says, that's not the truth. I'm not hearing the truth. That's the Holy Ghost working in you, and he wants to reveal nothing but the truth. And that's what he's come to do. He came to show us things to come and all the rest of these good things. So in fulfillment of all these prophecies in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36, it was put in our heart. Far from replacing or canceling or contradicting the Torah of Moses, the Holy Ghost confirms it for the believers in Yeshua. You can read that in Romans 3:31 if you don't believe it. Read the scripture. Both events took place at Pentecost. Both were accompanied by theophanies. Do you know what a theophany is? Somebody listening here? This is what it is. Any direct visual manifestation of the presence of God. Did you ever see one stuck on the wall? They couldn't move because God was resting on them? We've seen a lot of that. That's what is that? That's a theophany. God's doing things that we can't comprehend, but he does it. You know, we had meetings here years ago when Rodney Howard Brown was here, and people got stuck on the floor, on the wall. They had to keep the church unlocked all night long. They couldn't leave. Some people had to be carried out to the car. I'll tell you a quick one. Larry Lambert and I, when he was alive, we went to a tent meeting they had at the fairgrounds with an evangelist from Australia. And a lady that they had known from up north, Larry and his wife Elaine, she wanted a touch from God. They told her to come down to the meetings. She came down one night. She got laid out on the floor by the Spirit of God. It wasn't a floor. It was on the ground on a carpet. And the meeting was over. She was still laying there. So Larry says, let's go over and pick her up. We went over. Him and I got a hold of her. We could not lift her off of the floor. It was like a 1,000-pound weight. And I asked Larry, I said, what is this? He says, the weight of glory that's resting on her. That's a theophany. She couldn't get up. So we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And finally, we were able to get her up onto one leg, and we drug her out to the car. And Larry Lane took her home to their house. And they had to undress her and everything to get her in bed because she was stuck in this mode by the Holy Ghost. This is what you call a theophany. It's something you can't describe. You can't understand it only by the Spirit of God. And it touched her life. She was never the same after that. Only God could do that. So that's what it is. Any direct visual manifestation of the presence of God. Not a bunch of people, you know, standing in the background, not wanting to learn anything, just suspicious of what's going on. So anyway, both were accompanied by languages and voices. What? In Exodus chapter 19 and also in Acts chapter 2. Both were accompanied by fire, weren't they? The fire at Sinai was one fire, visible by all. The fire at Jerusalem divided itself and rested on each one individually on their shoulders. There was a fire. Thus at Sinai, the Torah was given and rested on each one individually to the people as a whole. At Jerusalem, the Torah was put within each individual. It's an individual thing. My prayer language I have, nobody in the world has it, but Gene Hilton has put within each individual. It's one. So does Pastor Donna. So does Donna McClain. All these people here, we all have a prayer language that God gave us.
And we shouldn't be ashamed of it either.
No.
No,
that's right.
Because it's a gift. It's a gift of God.
And another interesting thing here, at Sinai, there was a mixed multitude, Exodus 12:38, that had accompanied the people, just as people from many countries were present at Pentecost. Remember, when they left Egypt, a lot of the Egyptians saw what was going on. And you know what they did? They killed a lamb, got in their house, put blood on the doorpost, and they stayed there as well. So they left with the Jewish people. Amen? So remember, Torah means what? Teaching.
That's what God. Instruction.
And instruction. And the Holy Ghost is the teacher.
Thank you, Father.
That's right. It is customary, even in Jewish celebration at Pentecost, to eat milk foods. And then they, in Israel, they eat milk goods. Why? The Holy Ghost provides what? The milk of the Word. All right. Honey, you got something?
The milk of the Word. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I could go on, but I get wound up with this. You know, you see all the stuff in the church. Well, they don't believe this. They don't believe that. Let me tell you, everything in this book is active and alive today. God has never canceled anything. Man is the one that has canceled what God's wanting done. And we have a lot of misnomers with some of the things that's being taught. So we need to reevaluate. You know, I used to listen to a lot of good ministers, and I used to say, well, Lord, let me check this out for myself. So I'm challenging you listeners right now. You be a Berean, like it says in the book of Acts. You search the scriptures to see if these things be so. And I'm available. You can get this book I'm talking about. God's prophetic calendar, prophetic pictures of the Messiah, as revealed in the festivals of the Lord. For $25 and maybe $4 for shipping and handling, you can have this. And this is like a college course. You'll learn. You don't read it like a regular book. We're talking about Pentecost, so we're looking at the chapter on Pentecost, the pages, and read and understand it. Put it in your heart. And every time I read, you know, I wrote this years ago, but every time I read it, I get something else out of it. Every time I read it, more life comes. Because remember, the Word is a living Word. It's a living Word. And, you know, like Paul said, you know, the letter killeth, but the what? Word. It's a living Word. Life. And bring some life to you. And you'll find out maybe some things that you never thought you could know. But it's here. It's been here all these years. Like we've talked about, we got an appendix in the back of this book about the biblical dates of Yeshua's conception and birth. And it's been in the Bible for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in Luke 1 and 2. It's all right there. And we still think he was born at Christmas time. Well, I got news for you. Read the Bible for what it says. It will make you free. And I'll tell you, when I'm free, I'm not going back. And that's what you got to know and understand. News for you. Read the Bible for what it said. I wanted to have the power. And I realized after. And that's how much more understanding I had in the Word, and my wife as well. The Scripture just came alive to us because we were in a Bible school when we got it. And I remember when it was manifested and all. So if you don't have it, you know, most people don't have it because they've been taught it's not for today, or they've never asked. Ask and you shall receive. Bind the lie that man's trying to tell you that it's not for today, that God did away with it. You show me the chapter and verse where God says he did away with it, and I might think about it. There's not a chapter and verse. Now, there's been some things that they've pulled out of the Bible, like in 1 Corinthians 13. Well, that's a misnomer. That's not what God says there. They're looking at it the wrong way. When the perfect comes, it's not the Torah, and it's not the canon of Scripture. What is the perfect? Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. When he comes, he's the one. And so he's in us. We've asked him to come into our life. He's filled us with his Spirit. Here we are. We're coming up on Pentecost. And so if you haven't got it, ask. 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 Ask and you shall receive. It's that simple. So we love you all. And I hope this has stirred some of you up. I hope so. Because we love you very much. Like I said when we started, we couldn't possibly get all this done in
praise
1 week.
Praise the Lord. But, well, glory to God.
Honey, you go ahead and talk a few minutes.
Hallelujah.
I know Margie's got something to share,
yes,
too. It fits,
yes,
in with all
praise
this.
Praise the Lord. Yes, Margie's going to talk about the county of the Omer. Mm-hmm. And you said that we were into what day?
The 13th day.
The 13th day. And when that Spirit of God was poured out.
That's right.
At Pentecost, that's when the Holy Ghost came, right? The Holy
in
Ghost
Acts chapter
came.
Two, yeah.
And that's when it was totally fulfilled. What started back in Exodus now has totally been fulfilled, because Jesus told them to wait to tarry in that upper room for those final 10 days. And, you know, everyone in Israel knew that Pentecost was coming because they were all there. That's why they were all there.
That's right.
And that's why God had this all happen at this time. And that's why in your book also you have a calendar. And so God's cycling. He cycles according to the feasts of the Lord. And so, you know, all these cycling teaches us and brings fulfillment to his Word. And so he's already completed those first
four appointed times.
Four appointed
they won't
times.
Be done again. That's right.
And so so the next there's three more to go, because there's seven altogether. And and you know, also one of the appointed time a lot of people don't even think about is the Sabbath.
That's right.
Because the Sabbath was even established.
That
even
was the first one. Yeah.
Before the law was given, the Ten Commandments were given there when God spoke from heaven. So that was even set up beforehand, and a lot of people don't even realize that, you know. So, but anyways, I just wanted to kind of mention that. And I'm going to have Margie share, because we talked a little bit about this counting the Omer.
Right.
And I'll let her share about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna.
We're glad to be here.
Amen. We're very blessed to be here and sharing the word. with everyone.
Yes, Lord.
Internet.
Yeah, Facebook. On the internet, Facebook. Amen.
You name it, huh?
Yes.
I saw my brother in Australia for a few minutes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord
God,
Jesus.
God allows us to minister in many different ways. So
yes,
I'm very
does.
Grateful for the opportunity. And I'm very grateful for the Torah.
Yes.
The Torah is alive and well. He has brought order to my life. And the Torah is holy. And it is the teaching instruction of God.
Yes, Lord.
That we might live a holy life. So I'd like to talk about a very special word that goes along with counting the Omer this season. And it's a Hebrew word, and it's called Segula.
Segula.
Sounds like something you would eat.
Segula.
Segula, like goulash.
That's right.
Right.
Praise the Lord. It means a valued possession, a property, a special property, his treasure.
Whoa.
A special people. And the children of Israel were very special to God.
Yes.
They were and they are still today. And in Exodus 19:5.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Yes.
And the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they were in captivity for 400 years. So this word, Segula, will show you just how much he loved the children of Israel. They were very special people.
Yes.
He loved the children of Israel. They were very special people.
135, okay.
Psalms 135 of Israel. I'd like to read verse 4.
Go right ahead.
For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure.
Whoa.
Israel is God's special possession. They are precious to him. They are and they were set apart. The word Segula also applies to the believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
And we see in the book of Titus.
Mm-hmm.
We could go there.
Thank you, Lord.
In the book of Titus.
We put all the scriptures together, don't we? That's how we prove a matter.
Yes, in Titus chapter 2, and verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father, who gave himself for us, that's Yeshua, that he might redeem us,
yes,
from all iniquity,
mm-hmm,
and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Also in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, the scriptures tell us, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Segula is not limited to a certain group or denomination. It's for all those who believe on the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Who are born again. Jews and Gentiles alike. as we as Gentiles are grafted into Gentiles alike covenant through Yeshua. We are to be a pure and spotless bride.
Thank you, Lord.
Set apart for Jesus and not joining in on worldly activity by the washing of his blood for forgiveness of our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
So in Ephesians 5:25.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Husband, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church.
Thank you, Lord.
Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Thank you, Lord.
We are called to be mature and holy, even in our perfections, as we are. God still loves us. He delights in us. And we must guard this word, segula. There is a responsibility on our part.
Yes.
In Deuteronomy 5 through chapter 26, it starts with the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And goes through chapter 26. There are stipulations and things that he wants us to obey. In Deuteronomy 6, I'd like to share. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 1 through 6, if I do have time. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you.
Yes.
That ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged. Hear, Shema, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee.
5 minutes, okay.
Thank you, Father. There is a shielding and protection in this word, segula. And I am so grateful to Jesus for washing away my sins and forgiving me by the scripture, John 3:16.
Yeah.
I appreciate this radio program here on WCNO, Raising the Standard by Pastors Gene and Donna Healton. There is so much more than just knowing him as our Lord and Savior. The word, the Torah, teaches us how to live and walk a holy life. It is a preparation for the coming of Yeshua to come and take his bride.
Bible says it's a schoolmaster leads us to the Messiah, right?
Amen. Thank you, Father. And the children of Israel had trouble following the Lord. And so during this time of counting the Omer, even in our life today, we can go through and get out the leaven sin out of our life as they did.
That's right.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
It's good.
Pastor Gene, you want to close out?
Yeah, just
maybe somebody would like to receive the Holy Ghost.
Hi. You heard how excited I got about it and how it's changed my life. And anybody that has received it, you know the power of it. And you know it's the empowering presence of God. That was the sign that we see in the book of Acts. Whenever someone came to the Lord, what happened? They got water baptized and all that. But the most important thing was they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and some of them even prophesied right at that moment. And so that's the empowering, it's the proof of the empowering presence in our lives, is that we have that heavenly language that God gave us. So if there's someone today and you've never had that, remember I told you up front, we talked about it. Most people don't have it because they've been told it's not for today, or they never ask. So forget about what people tell you that it's not for today. The book says it is. And so all you have to do, ask and you shall receive. And you can't receive it unless you're born again. You must be born again to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So number one is, do you know Yeshua HaMashiach? Is he your personal Savior? Are you walking with him? If not, what a great time during this time of counting the Omer and all, getting up to the time of Pentecost. What a great time to make a decision for the Lord and come to him and say, Lord, I know I've made a mess out of my life. I can't straighten it out, and I could never think about how I could ever do it, but you can do everything. And you tell us to come as we are. So I'm telling you today, come as you are. Just as you are, you don't have to try to do anything. I've had people tell me, well, Pastor Gene, when I get my act cleaned up, I'm going to start going away. Come as you are. Just as you are, you don't have to try to do anything. I've had people tell me, well, Pastor Gene, when I get my act cleaned up, so if you come to him first, turn your life over to him, and things will change, and they will. And you'll be so glad. Don and I have been saved almost 35 years now, and I tell you, I wouldn't trade it for a moment of anything because it's been so wonderful. So we're honored to be here with you, and I hope that you got something out of this today. We'll finish it. We didn't get it all done. We'll do the rest of it next week. But as we close, we want you to remember these things because your life is so important to God. You have a purpose and a destiny in your hands, and he has it. There's a purpose and a destiny for you. He's asking you to walk it out with him in your hands, and whatever you do. So we're honored to be here with you again. Destiny for you. He's asking you to walk it out.
Lord, she's going to blow the shofar.
I know she's going to blow the shofar. And as we close, we'll tell you as we do every week to tell you, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.
You have one more minute. Go ahead. Go ahead, Margie. Go ahead.
That's good. Margie blows that pretty good. So Amen. Anyway, we love you all. That's why we're on this program. WCNO and radio is on the air because they love people. They want to see them come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and their life will change. If we get more people in this country, they would fall on their knees before God and ask Christ to come into their lives, this country could change in a dynamic way. So we're honored to be with you as we close.
Our Pastor, phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we do have Shabbat on Saturday this afternoon at 2 p.m. So if you'd like to have Pastor Gene's book, give us a call or come and visit us at the Alliance Church on Osceola Street at 2 p.m. God bless you all.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.